Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In this program, I'm going to show how God used the Old Covenant to lead us to the New Covenant. The most important thing I'm going to stress is that the Ten Commandment Law, written on two tables of stone, is the foundational element, central theme, and main thrust of the Old Covenant. To do that, let's turn over to Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, verse 13. This is Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, verse 13. God declared to you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and He wrote them upon two tables of stone. Let's continue in Deuteronomy, the ninth chapter, verse 9, and we'll read all the way through chapter 10, verse 5. This is Deuteronomy, the ninth chapter, verse 9, all the way through chapter 10, verse 5. And that's actually the reference. I won't have time to read all of it in this program. But it says here, when I went to the mountain, speaking of Moses, to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant, which the Lord had made with you, I stayed 40 days and nights without eating or drinking. And the Lord delivered to me two tables of stone, written with the finger of God, and on them was written all the words which the Lord spoke to you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And I put the tables in the ark that I had made, as the Lord commanded me. And did you ever wonder why the ark is called the Ark of the Covenant? Well, it's because the Ark of the Covenant contained the tables of the covenant. Let's read about that in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 9. This is 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 9. There was nothing in the Ark of the Covenant save the two tables of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And of course, this is talking about the Old Covenant. And we're going to find a New Testament confirmation of the same scripture. That's in Hebrews the ninth chapter, verses 2 through 4. This is Hebrews the ninth chapter, verses 2 through 4. For there was a tabernacle made, the first area called the sanctuary, contained the candlestick, the table, and the showbread. After passing through the second veil, there was the area called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. So I say again, the law, written on two tables of stone, is the foundational element, central theme, and main thrust of the Old Covenant. Now let's turn over to Galatians, the third chapter, and we're going to read verses 1 through 25. This is Galatians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 25. This is how God begins to reveal His process for using the Old Covenant to bring us to the New Covenant. So to the whole world, God asks, did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law? In other words, through the Old Covenant. Or did you receive the Holy Spirit by the hearing of faith? In other words, through the New Covenant. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? No, that's not the way to go. To receive the Holy Spirit by faith and then try to use the law to perfect yourself, to bring yourself righteousness. And Paul goes on to show here that Abraham had a different viewpoint, and this is the viewpoint that God appreciates. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So those who have faith are the spiritual children of Abraham. God, foreseeing that He would justify humanity through faith, not through the law, but through faith, preached the gospel to Abraham. And I don't know if you've ever heard that before or realized that before, but the gospel, the same gospel that was preached by Christ, the same gospel that was preached by the apostles, the same gospel that's being preached today, was preached to Abraham, saying, in your seed shall all nations be blessed. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, but he does not say seeds as in plural, but to one seed, which is Christ. So another way of saying that is the gospel was preached to Abraham saying, in Christ shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Now how is that? Well, it says, because Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? It's death. So Christ redeemed us from death. How? Being made a curse for us. So in other words, Jesus Christ died in our stead. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And didn't Jesus die on a cross? Of course he did. This was done so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the nations through Jesus Christ. Why? That we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Now, no man is justified by the law. In other words, no man is forgiven by the law in the sight of God. The just shall live by faith, accepting by faith God's promise to bless us through Jesus Christ by forgiving us of our sins. And this I say, that the old covenant, which came 430 years after the Abrahamic covenant, cannot make the new covenant promise of Jesus Christ of no effect. If the inheritance of the blessing through Christ was of the law, it would no more be of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So then, this is the all-important question. What is the purpose of the law? The answer, it was added because of transgressions. Now, in a future program, I'm going to go much more into depth into this question, the purpose of the law, and this phrase, it was added because of transgressions. But it says, what is the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions until a certain time. When was that time? Till the seed, that same seed we've been talking about, Jesus Christ, until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Is then the old covenant law against the new covenant promises of God? No, God forbid. Don't even think about it. That's not what Paul is saying. That's not what God was saying. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what the scripture says. Is the old covenant law then against the new covenant promises of God? No, God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, then righteousness would have been by the law. In other words, if a person could have perfectly kept the law and therefore attained to the perfect standard of righteousness which God has, which is totally sinless, then a person could have had eternal life through the law. But no one can keep the law perfectly, therefore there's no law which could give life. Now, what did the law do? Here it goes. The scripture has concluded all under sin. That's what the law did. The law concluded us under sin because the law teaches us what sin is. It shows us what our sin is. It tells us that we have sinned. Sin is the transgression of the law. That's 1 John 3 verse 4. So the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Before faith came, we were kept under the law. This was the old covenant, the Ten Commandments written on two tables of stone. Before faith came, which was in Christ's time, because he was that promised seed, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up to the faith that would be revealed after the old covenant had served its purpose. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And what does a schoolmaster do? A schoolmaster teaches us a very important lesson. A schoolmaster leads us to a conclusion. In this case, the law, the old covenant, was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Why? That we might be justified by faith. Again, we cannot be justified by the law because the law is the one that teaches us about our sins. It is by faith that we have forgiveness of sins. That's what justification is all about. So the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Why? That we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. That's right. We are no longer under the Ten Commandments written on two tables of stone. But am I saying that God's spiritual law has been done away with? Again, is the old covenant law then against the new covenant promises of God? God forbid. God's spiritual law is still in effect. But the old covenant, even the covenant written on two tables of stone, the law, That has been done away with, and we are no longer under that schoolmaster. Please understand this. The law made us aware of our sins, and made us aware of our total inability to deliver ourselves from the wages of sin, which is death. It brought us to the point where we had to acknowledge our need for a deliverer. It also taught us that we had to be delivered by faith rather than by our own works. After all, it was by our own best efforts that earned us the death penalty. Keeping the law can't forgive us of sins. It points out our sins. Keeping the law can't make us righteous. It reveals how unrighteous we are. Keeping the law can't earn us eternal life. It earns us death. The law, as a schoolmaster, has done its job. It pointed us to Jesus Christ. Lesson over, we no longer need to be schooled by the law written on two tables of stone. Now, the Holy Spirit teaches us that we have forgiveness of sins, the imputation of righteousness, and the guarantee of eternal life by faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit also teaches us that the spiritual law is being written on two tables, but not two tables of stone. Now it's being written on two tables, our hearts and our minds. If you want to read that, you can read that in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 16. So the law, written on two tables of stone, was our schoolmaster. It did its job. It brought us to Christ. Now the Holy Spirit teaches us that we have forgiveness of sins, the imputation of righteousness, and the guarantee of eternal life by faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit also teaches us that the spiritual law is being written on two tables, our hearts and minds. So let's trace the footsteps of the schoolmaster step by step as it brings us to Christ. And this is the first step. Step one was to make mankind aware of sin. Step one was to make mankind aware of sin. This is what's meant by the law was added because of transgressions. Step one was to make mankind aware of sin. This is what is meant by the law was added because of transgressions. Some people mistakenly think Israel was sinning so much that God had to add laws concerning sacrifices, and that's what it means when it says the law was added because of transgressions. But hogwash, this is not talking about the laws concerning sacrifices, offerings, or washings. It is clearly talking about the Ten Commandments written on two tables of stone. Paul continues, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded all under sin. There you have it. The sacrifices simply reminded people of sin. The Ten Commandments written on two tables of stone defined sin for Israel. So the law was added because God wanted to make transgressions abundantly clear, so that he could completely conclude all of them, and yes, all of us, under sin. Israel, indeed the world, has no excuse for sin. That's the conclusion to which God brings us through the schoolmaster. Now, in the next program, I'm going to continue to reveal exactly how God used the old covenant, our schoolmaster, to lead us to the new covenant, which is our salvation. Thanks for joining me on this program. May God be in you.